Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
All right, welcome back. We talked a lot about the last legislative session, the pros, the cons. Well, it's over now, including the special session. Yesterday, the governor signing a few of those bills into law that passed. We're going to kick a few of those around, and we want to welcome in State Senator John Lamping with our brand-new intro music for him.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction.
People keep looking to government for the answer, and government's the problem. Government would shut the doors and sneak away for about 3 weeks. We'd never miss them.
Stop thinking about what I want, what he wants, what your parents want. What do you want?
I love it. John Lamping, does that get your stamp of approval?
Oh, that's awesome. It's everything I'd like to say in the morning with that much enthusiasm, but it is a little early.
I understand completely, my friend. Well, good to get you in here. You know, I just saw, Kim and I were just looking at this headline from yesterday before we get into everything the governor signed. One thing the governor pushed for in the special session was this allowance for major league ballparks to keep tax dollars, and that's still not good enough for the Kansas City Chiefs, who are asking for yet another extension to make this final decision. I guess they're still playing ball with Kansas.
Yeah, you know, I was over in Kansas for the weekend. My daughter was moving into her first apartment. We were helping her with that. And this was in the news for sure.
Yeah.
And we drove by the Sprint campus in Overland Park, where that's one of the places that the Royals are considering relocating to. And, you know, the thing about Jeff City is it's some really smart thinkers, not necessarily the politicians or those in government, but the lobbyists are really smart guys and gals. It is their full-time job, and they play a lot of 4D chess, if you will. And there's a side of me that thinks the Chiefs and the Royals were always going to move to Kansas, always going to move, and this entire thing was for the benefit of the Cardinals.
Wow.
The Cardinals, they've interviewed DeWitt III, and he said, no, we purposely chose not to be part of this whole process because the last time down there, they haven't done very well. They're not very well liked for whatever reason. And so this time they sat out in all of this. And, you know, if the Chiefs and the Royals move, the Cardinals are going to get, you know, at least $500 million in improvements on what is, I think it's almost a 20-year-old stadium that needs $500 million more. And so that's the one thing I think you can not pencil in, but in ink, the Cardinals will be getting $500 million as a result of this special session bill, and who knows on the rest.
Wow. Yeah, I'd never thought of it that way, but I knew they would benefit from it, but I never thought that they might be the sole beneficiaries of it here at some point. Maybe the Blues can use some of it, too, for their to upgrade their facility, huh?
Yeah, I think the Blues just went through that about 4 or 5 years ago. And I think the Cardinals saw all that it took for the Blues, and it was very difficult. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm fine with the Chiefs and the Royals moving. Certainly the Royals. Royals can move to another part of the country, as far as I'm concerned. And the Chiefs, I'm going to watch them on television, so I don't really care either way.
Tell us how you really feel about the Royals, John.
Let him go.
What else do you think about some of the moves that Kehoe made? Because some of them, I really think all of them were fantastic. But the biggest one, I thought, was maybe him banning the cell phones for students who were in K-12 here in Missouri.
Yeah, I thought that was good, really good, a long overdue. See, Mike's an interesting guy, and he's unlike a lot of people that are in politics. Mike doesn't have a really strong political ideology. You know, other than we need to build lots of roads. You know, he was a car dealer for a long time, and he served on the transportation committee early in the 2000s. But what happens is he likes consensus. He's of the belief that if people that represent different parts of our state and our economy, our schools, the Chamber of Commerce, that all of those groups individually have good ideas, or they have their ideas. And Michael, listen to them and see what they are. And to the extent that those ideas can get through the legislative process and onto his desk, then he'll sign them, and those will become his ideas. He's not ideological. So there's good things and bad things. So obviously, I think like school choice is a good thing. He's a believer in that. There's a lot of people that think that's a good idea. It's interesting though. The same year that he signed the biggest school choice bill we've had, he funded public school education by $100 million more than the legislature wanted to. So that's kind of, he's pleasing both sides. He's listening to consensus. Mike does a lot of Chamber of Commerce stuff. The Kansas City bill, the Chiefs bill, that's a Chamber of Commerce one.
Right.
The cell phone one's a very good one. There's one that I wonder what you guys think about this. I think it's kind of interesting. He signed a bill that if you're a first responder and you've been a first responder for longer than 10 years, then your children all get to go. They get to go to school for free. They get in-state college tuition for free for just about every subject matter, and it's a way of attracting and retaining first responders. And that sounds great and everything, but it really begs the question, well, why just the first responders? So, I mean, that's what Mike is. Mike is trying to build consensus, and he'll sign all different types of bills.
Yeah. I remember that one when it was being discussed. I, to be honest with you, did not know it had ended up passing.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah. It didn't get it. It's one of those bills that you probably don't want to shine a light on it. I mean, it's a strange thing. So the net result of what he does is government becomes a lot bigger. It becomes involved in a lot of things. Most ideas that people have involve spending money or getting tax cuts. And if you look, he did just that. He expanded government in some areas, and he cut lots of taxes, including the capital gains tax.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the interesting thing about that is and I'm not opposed to the general idea that people who have committed their life to public service, whatever. I'm sure that was the idea behind the bill. What about teachers? Like you could that you start down a slippery slope there. Well, if the first responders got this for their children, how about teachers who've served for 20 years or whatever? Why don't their kids get to go to school for free?
Our former military, that's the problem.
Or just everybody, right? Right.
Yeah. I mean, But again, that's a smaller government person or a free market person. They would say, no, we can't sign this bill because what about everybody else? Well, it's kind of like no taxes on tips. So I don't know if you guys are renegotiate your contracts recently, but wouldn't it be wonderful if you could work for minimum wage at the radio station and have the rest of your comp be in tips?
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Just give our Venmo account to people.
Frankly, I think there's going to be a lot of that kind of thing going on. If I'm a cook in a kitchen, do I want to get paid by salary or do I want to get paid by tips? So you see, those ideas sound great and they sound like you're helping out somebody who deserves a break. But in reality, we all deserve less government and less taxation. And when you get into these, one thing that's consistent with a key administration is if you have a good idea, you better have a really good lobbyist to explain it to the governor if you have any chance of having that pass.
I did see where House Bill 595 got signed by the governor. Representatives Brown and Schroer, then Senator Nick Schroer, I should say, is the one that sponsored that. And it would protect private property rights. It prohibits local governments from limiting what factors landlords can or cannot consider in rental-related decisions, including source of income, credit scores, and rental and criminal history. Because left on their own, cities like the progressive St. Louis Board of Aldermen would try to tell landlords that you can't consider somebody's criminal history or their credit history. And that is that's nonsense if you're a property owner.
Yeah, that, I mean, I respect the fact that Nick brought that bill forward. That's very much in the weeds kind of bill. There's,
yes.
I don't know how that works. You know, there's a lot of consternation about, you know, what rights do the landlords have? What rights do the renters have? You know, there was much talk this session about it was such a wonderful session that so many things got done. And so the sad reality is when most of these things get done, there's so much minutia and they're so specific to one particular area
yes.
that it's hard for the public to know if it was good or bad, but it got done. So, so that's what's an overarching theme. It'll be interesting. I am of the opinion that, starting with the next year, and I think for the rest of this time that Keogh's serving this first term, there's going to be a lot of fiscal constraints that we haven't had in the state for a better part of 15 years. I think that the big, beautiful bill changed that formula for funding Medicaid, and it's going to have a pronounced impact on the budget. If it doesn't have it right away, it'll be in the few, you know, it'll be staring them in the face a year or two out. And because most of the like work requirements and things like that that are in the big beautiful bill don't take effect until 28 and to between 28 and 30, but when they do, it's going to have a huge impact on the formula by which Medicaid's funded in the state. And the good times will be over as far as passing all the goodies around, which they certainly did this year.
It's a good point, expanding it in the first place in Missouri. John, thank you.
Great to be with you, and thanks for the intro. It was really cool.
You can thank Ethan for that. He made that yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Ethan. Appreciate it.
Well done. We'll talk to you soon, John. Thank you.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.